song.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with the Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, I apologize there a minute. Nothing worse than having chewing gum in your mouth, especially when you're speaking to people. So took my chewing gum out, put it right there. Hey, I want to start out. I want to encourage you here today. I'll try to encourage you every day. And remember, his mercies are new to us every day. Hey, Spencer, get the Days of Elijah up. I want to encourage us all. We are, I don't know what's going on any more than you do. I don't know. And if all of us are sitting like we're on pins and needles and like you feel like you're getting ready to, what they call that? When you get stood up for a date, is that what it is, Steve? Stood up for a date, you invite the girl and she's not there or she's waiting on you and you never come. I sort of feel like we're getting stood up for a date here. And I think a lot of you feel that way. Get up every morning with some anticipation. Is today the day? Is this the day the hammer comes down? What's going on? And all the speculation and all the chaos and everything that's going on. Listen, the Lord is not wringing his hands. Not wringing his hands. I might be. You might be. But the Lord isn't wringing his hands. And, you know, it's easy for us to say, well, you know, God's in control. God wins in the end. We've been all through that. I don't come down on that camp. I think that some of the stuff I'm going to talk about today, the situation we find ourselves in is our own responsibility. And let me give you an example. Last night, this weekend, I did something I never do. I spoke my wife's love language. You know what that is, Clay? My wife's love language is I cleaned up the garage. Huh? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Somebody give me a thumbs up. Say, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Huh? I cleaned up the garage. I mean, I did a really, really good, really good job of it, right? And the crazy thing was, I was storing something in our garage. It was really a pretty good value. And I thought I had it hidden. And all of a sudden, after we get everything done and put away and everything last night, I cleaned it up on Sunday. So this is Tuesday night. All of a sudden, I'm laying down in bed last night at 10 o'clock, and I said, oh, my God, where is that? Knowing this valuable thing that I'd hidden in the house, in the garage. Where is that? I didn't see it. And all of a sudden, panic hit me about 10:30. And oh, my Lord. And I said, so right away, I thought, well, it got thrown away. Michelle threw it in the trash. She was helping me clean up a little bit. She didn't know where I'd put it, and Michelle threw it in the trash. And I thought, I'm going to shake her and wake her and scold her because she threw it in the trash. But I didn't scold her and wake her. I didn't do any of that. I just kind of laid there and said, well, Lord, I guess I should have sold that thing and spent it on the poor anyway. So in other words, it's going to get thrown in the trash, Lord. And that's just kind of the way life is. I shouldn't have hoarded it. I should have. You with me, guys? You with me? So I woke up this morning. I slept really good. But I woke up this morning. It was the first thing on my mind this morning. Where is that thing? Where is that? I had it in a little container. Where is that? Because I didn't see it after I'd cleaned out the garage. And when I cleaned, I couldn't remember where I put it. And I thought, well, it's in the trash can. So I went and looked at a couple different places that I would never look at. It wasn't there. Wasn't there. And so I was coming down to show to do, coming down the steps to do the show. The Holy Spirit said to me, did you check that closet? I said, what? He said, did you check that closet? I said, well, why would it be in that closet? He said, well, are you married? I'm kind of giving the conversation the Holy Spirit and I had. I said, yeah. He said, check in the closet. So I went and checked in the closet. And there it was. Michelle had put it in she didn't even know what was in it. She didn't even know what was in it. That's why I knew it had been thrown into the trash, right? And there it was. And I said, wow, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that even in something, what a lesson in that. Trying to keep stuff that is of no really of no value, hanging on to it of no value. And the value of it is here now, here and now. And I just want to, thank the Lord and thank him for the lesson that he taught me last night. Let's not hoard stuff. Let's not, that doesn't mean don't be prudent, but let's not keep things in hiding for a later day. You might be dead tomorrow. Can't bury your talents. You can't bury your jewels. Put them to work today. That's what we have to do. And I was reminded of this. I can't remember who sent me this, but God's in control, man. No matter what's going on with Trump and the election and all that kind of stuff, Lord's got his hand on it. He slept pretty well last night. He wasn't worried about where that jug was. He's got it all under control. And so this kind of encouraged me. Some of you have seen this, but this is the days of Elijah. These were Marines at a boot camp. Let's start out with this morning. Let's remember what's really, really going on. It's not about Donald Trump. It's not about politics. Hang on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hey, folks. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. And he's not worried about America. He's worried about souls. He's worried about us. He's worried about his church, folks. We are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And those of us here in America, we have all of our attention focused on America when God is, I don't know if you know this, he's worldwide God. He's King of all the kings. He's the Lord of all the lords. And if we think he's an American, or if he's a Republican, or even better, if we think he's a Trump supporter, then we've got this whole thing upside down. And so no matter what happens today, whether nothing changes, Lord is working out a plan. But you better understand this. You are part of the plan. We are in the mess that we are in, not because God hasn't done his part, but because we haven't done our part. That'd be a good place for an amen. That'd be a good place for an amen.
Amen.
The church has not done
our part. Amen. Amen.
Scripture says some men trust in horses, some men trust in chariots, but we will trust in the name of the Lord. And can I tell you the truth? The church has not trusted in the name of the Lord.
No.
We have not served the Lord. We've let the Lord serve us, and whatever happens, it's going to happen because we are going to reap what we have sown. We're going to,
you can come to your
senses. You can be a 17. I remember me when I came to my senses, when Jesus radically saved me in 1988 at the age of 27 years old, when he radically saved me and pulled me out of that miry clay. And I look back over my shoulder at that mess that I'd left behind me in my life. Somebody say amen. You know what I'm talking about? The mess I'd left behind me in my life. All those things I'd done that I couldn't undo, and all those things I should have done that I didn't. That trail of sorrows behind me. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
When he rescued me and he pulled me out of that stuff, you know what he said to me? He's very simple. He didn't say it, but the message was this. See that behind you? Stop doing that. Stop doing that, and then go do it the right way. And that's what I tried to do every day of my life since that day I was radically saved. I didn't have it all figured out. I don't have it all figured out today. But I know this. When I get up every morning, I have an assignment and a job from the Holy Spirit that I'm supposed to do. The job that I'm supposed to do for the Holy Spirit is more important than my physical job. It's more important than go working at some place and getting paid $25 an hour and coming home with a paycheck. We just think that's our job, see? We're soldiers of the cross. We're disciples of Jesus. We're the salt of the earth and the light of the world. That's our number one job.
Amen.
But see, we take our number two job and ask the Lord to bless our number two job. And then we end up being lovers of stuff, lovers of things more than lovers of God. And then we say, God, how about cleaning up that mess that I didn't take care of, Lord? Hey, would you come down here? Hey, Lord, I'm sorry. Would you clean up that mess? Well, there's consequences to our mess, see? There's consequences.
Amen.
And so let's not lose sight of any of it. Listen, I ain't some pie in the sky, everything's going to be all right kind of guy, because everything is going to be all right. But I'm going to tell you, we're going to walk through some minefields. Either way, we're going to walk through some minefields. But why? These are the days of Elijah, baby. This is it. This is our time to shine. You've been called to the kingdom for such a time as this. Bone up, man. Tighten your belt. Earn your meal money. This is what it's all about. Our faith has brought us here for such a time as this. Go ahead and play this quickly there, Spencer. Let this encourage you, boys.
Hey,
Marines at Camp Pendleton. Video by Mary Baldwin. Here we go, baby.
Amen.
Boy, my spirit is so, it's my fast. Anybody else feeling it? Anybody else feel
oh,
it?
Yeah.
Closeness to the Lord when you're fasting?
Yeah, brother.
Anybody else? I mean, woo! Man. Listen, folks. This may not be a Christian nation, but it's a nation of Christians. And we're
Amen.
In the midst, And we are in the mess we are in because we have been ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've been ashamed of it. Jesus said that you are the salt of the earth. You, me, we are the light of the world. He says nobody takes a shining light and puts it under a bushel. Folks, we put the gospel under the bushel. It's been under the bushel for 60 years, at least 60 years in America. We got the government tell us, turn that light off. Turn that light off, and we obeyed the government. We turned the light off, and we came, and we went inside a building, and then we put a bushel over the top of it, and we preached to one another, and we had played church, and we had no power at all outside the four walls. He said, you're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. Nobody takes it and hides it under a bushel, but we have. And he said in Isaiah, unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. And he shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, a Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. And the church is walking and speaking and talking defeat. We are throwing in the towel. Have been for 60 years, but I'm telling you, God is doing something bigger than we can even understand. It's not a political thing. It's not a Republican thing. It's not a Trump thing. God is bringing the wine press down. He's crushing out the wines. We're going to see an outpouring of the Holy Spirit like we have never seen. As somebody once said, don't be afraid of persecution. Persecution's good for you. Persecution's good for the church. We will come out of this a perfect. Don't put new wine into wineskins. There's a revolution coming. I'm feeling it this morning. I'm feeling it this morning. But we have to be realistic and understand that the mess that we find ourselves in, the mess that we want Donald Trump to clean up, is the mess we made. We made that mess, right? Call daddy. Hey, daddy. Hey, Trump, why won't you do this? Well, hell, why don't you go to the city council meeting? Hey, Trump, will you do this? Well, why don't you go to the school board meeting? Hey, Trump, will you do this? Well, why don't you go to your pastor and stand up and speak up? Hey, Trump, we want President Trump to do what none of us will do. And I would bet you this. I'll bet you a dollar to a donut. He doesn't have 10 people around him that are with him. I'll bet you he doesn't. And so he's looking around saying, well, why the hell should I sell out? Nobody else cares. What kind of man would it take to lay everything on the line when nobody else is? Huh? That's where we are. That's what's going on. I'm all over it today. I'm all over the target here today, whether you admit it or not. I haven't given you a chance to say anything yet. Listen, I'm going to show you something else. Hang on here. God bless y'all. I'll try to pull myself back in here. Pull up Mike Heath. Mike Heath needs our prayers. Mike Heath needs our prayers. Mike Heath is running for governor. Here's what, this kind of stuff irritates me. People laugh. Oh, he don't have any chance of winning. You miss the point. Ohio State didn't have a chance against Alabama. Well, why'd they go play? Well, they tried. They went, Brown's almost won. Nobody has a chance. Mike Heath is a witness. He's the salt of the earth. He's the light of the world. And he's going to carry the torch into the darkness. He's going to go oppose those forces of darkness. So Mike, yesterday, folks, Mike Heath needs your prayers. I think he can win governor. Let me tell you why I think he can win. Doesn't matter. Most of you don't know, Mike Heath is head of the Christian Civic League of Maine for 25 years. He's the most recognized Christian name in all of the state of Maine. Mike Heath is. He has name recognition. But Mike's going to go on a frontal assault. He's going to go on a frontal assault. He's going to go on a righteous battle against the forces of darkness. He's not going to play politics. He's not going to talk to the gentlewoman across the aisle and do all that happy horse crap that we watch. What's that? What's your senator up there, Jack? What's the name of that? The wicked senators you have up there? My goodness. Mike's not going to do that. He's going to expose them. So look at this. Look at the headlines. Look at this. This is some paper in Maine. By the way, Mike is traveling to Maine even right now because he wants to be able to face the media now that they've started this frontal assault on him. Anti-gay activist, Michael Heath. How come they don't ever say anti-Christian Democrat? How come they never say that? Huh? How come they never say anti-common sense Democrat? Why is it anti-gay? Mike's not anti-gay. He's anti-gay public acceptance. Anti-gay public acceptance. That's what Mike is. Not anti-gay. He doesn't hate gay people. But see, this is how they play. In 2010, anti-gay activist Michael Heath declared his intention to run for governor as an independent. One day later, he dropped out of the race after announcing the campaign was beyond my capacity at this point in my life. Hey, boy, it wasn't. It's 11 years later. It ain't above your capacity anymore, Mike. It ain't above it. I'm not going to take time to read this article. Know this. It's in the chat. Know this. Our friend Mike Heath is under assault. He stepped into the arena. He is under assault. He needs your prayers. He needs your help. He needs your finance. I don't even know if he's got a campaign set up like that. But brothers, let me tell you something. He is David running at Goliath with a stone, and he is going to sling that stone. And boy, or boy, or is he going to hear about the? Is he going to hear about the outrageous? The brain went dead on me. He's going to hear about the outrageous fortune coming his way. Let's support Mike Heath. Second thing, pull it up there real quick. This is where we are in America. Now, I don't know about you. I want to ask yourself this. How could Almighty God bless this church? These are the days of Elijah. Pull up the tranny. Pull up the tranny. Did you guys see this? Huh? Joe Biden is nominated assistant secretary of health and human. This guy's a tranny. This guy's a man. This man has a dick, I would imagine. Pardon my French.
Yeah, coach.
And he's being elevated to position of authority. By the way, and the church is mum, except for Mike Heath. He's not mum about it. But the church in general is mum about it. That somehow some guy like this, this guy who doesn't even know if he's a man or a woman, has the common sense to be one of the highest offices in our land. Really? Really? That's where we are, folks. More of it coming. But it's all good because it's going to sharpen the church. That's all it's going to do. It's going to make it a lot easier for us to see the targets. Oh, man, if we can't see what's going on, if you can't see how the devil's playing this game, I got a lot of stuff to share with you. I'm going to shut up for a minute. I'm going to allow somebody to come in. Yeah, come on in. Put your hand up there, folks, if you want to say something. Help us out there today.
Did they mention this guy was Richard Levine a couple of years ago?
Yeah, they did. I don't care. What the hell's wrong with us? The hell's wrong with us, folks? Does anybody think that guy's normal? Anybody think that guy ought to be ruling over you? Anybody? Come on here. Come on in, Larry.
Yeah, hey, you know, I think yesterday somebody mentioned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, maybe Dale. But, you know, you said earlier that God is in charge or in control, and you're absolutely right, especially in the aspect of we're taught to pray for his will. And then when things don't go our way, we try to change his will by praying for something different.
Yeah.
If he answers prayer, what comes down the pike is his will. And even if we do get thrown in that fire, we trust him.
Well, I ain't going to burn. That's what it says. They throw me in the fire. I'm not going to burn. Won't singe me. Come on in, Silver.
This morning I was outside in prayer.
Good for you.
And having a smoke.
Bad for you.
People or think I'm a holy person or something. And the Lord showed me that it's just going to be hunky-dory as he takes the nation down. And as he takes the nation down, our job is to do what we are called to do, and that is to win souls for Christ.
Amen. It's going to be, he said, pray for workers. The field's going to be listen.
Ripe for harvest.
That's right. I'm for soul winning. I'm also for expanding the kingdom. I think they go hand in hand. Come on in, Dale. At least your hand's up there, Dale. Nope, Dale took his hand down.
Yeah, it's here. Okay, go ahead. Coach, I'm sorry. All them buttons, you know. It's
yeah, I get you. I got them here, too. I'm going to blow my nose.
I'm excited as you are. Larry, going back to that, what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego told King Nebuchadnezzar, they say, know this, our God is able to deliver us from the fire. But if he don't, know this day, King, we will not bow down and worship you. It doesn't matter who's in the White House, brother. We are not bowing down and worshiping any of that.
This will be our finest hour, boys and girls. It's going to be something. What a time to be alive. So listen, I haven't thrown in the towel. Maybe Trump will do something today. I still think those troops are in Washington D.C. for something. I don't know. I don't know what it is. So last night, Carla Dean Graves, who we've had on this show, Dr. Carla Dean Graves, What a sweet, sweet woman. She's been doing these conference calls. It started out with 100 and Zoom calls, I think they are. And then last night, a week ago, she had one that had 5,000 people. 5,000 people. And then last night, she had one at 9 o'clock, which is my bedtime, by the way. And I tried to get on. I couldn't get on. Yesterday, Carla Dean Graves had 30,000 people try to get on her call. 30,000. Zoom couldn't handle it. Couldn't handle it. But she did tape it, and she sent me a copy of it today. And I want to show you two different brief segments of this thing, if I can, okay? 30, folks, people are so awake. People are so, this thing ain't over. So do you have it there? Did I show you which one it was? It is, no, where is it? Yeah, it says Mike Lindell. I'm sorry. There you go. Okay. Now I want you to go to the 46:30 minute mark, and I want you to hear from Mike, the Pillow Man. I said, isn't it amazing? But hey, hang on. This is just my nature, so I got to get this out of me. Where the hell are the pastors? Where are the pastors? I'm going to show you the answer here in a minute, okay? But I want you to listen to it, about 5 minutes of Mike Lindell. And here's what continues to amaze me. Mike Lindell sharing the gospel. Mike Adams sharing the gospel. Lynn Wood sharing the gospel. God is raising up these people because the pastors aren't doing the job. God is raising up the salt of the earth to speak to the world about the problems being spiritual. Christian, those are the problems. Those are the problems. Go to the 46-minute, 30-second mark and listen to old Mike Lindell. Hey, listen. I want you all to buy Mike Lindell's book. He talks about it in a minute. Throw that up there real quick if you can. It says Mike's book. Maybe while you guys are listening, you can go here. His book is $9. Listen, he said he is going to take every cent of this and throw it into the battle for America. He makes his statement in there. So here's his website. What are the odds from crack addict to CEO? Every penny he makes on this is going to continue to fund this battle for America. So go back and play. Let's play that 46 minute 30 second from last night. Mike, listen to the gospel come out of these guys. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. You know, we have to look at it. You know, you all listen to Lynn, but I want to tell you the two miracles that happened. And the first miracle was the night of the election. And that night of the election at 11:15, because everybody voted for, so they underestimated how many votes Donald Trump was going to get. So then we had this, they had to stop, and we had this anomaly, these deviations where we all knew that something was wrong. So we all, you know, if had that not happened, we would all went to, you know, the election would have been done by 3 a.m. We'd have said, oh, it was close, but mail-in voting, Biden won. So that's the first miracle that we all get. Something's terribly wrong. And everybody like myself, from November 4th on, I put millions of dollars into it. I put every day since then, from morning till night, going down every spot for evidence, looking at every resource, financing guys here, helping guys here, besides my own due diligence and my own searching. Well, the other part that happened was all those states shutting down the organic theft, all the dead people voting and the non-residents and all this. I mean, it's not even logical that all these states just say, well, we're going to count these, you know, I mean, it's just bizarre. So that, to me, that's the second miracle, because if that wouldn't happen, what's happening right now, where the evidence of the machine fraud that Mary talks about. I had a guy come to me just 4 days ago. He got done with 2 months of forensic cyber, mathematical forensic cyber proof, 100% that would hold up in court, that every single machine was, all these machines that were online stole this election. Now, it doesn't say who did it, but it shows that it was done, and it shows just in Georgia alone, 24,000 votes just in Fulton County switch. So this matches up with what Mary's been talking about. And I'm telling you all right now, if none of this would have happened, we were doomed. It was just like a slow, like they've been boiling us like a frog for decades. where now they made their big move. China made its big move, the communists. Right now, this is an opportunity. We're living in whatever God's plan is here in the next few weeks, month, or whatever. It's going to happen real fast where the truth will be told. This is all going to come out. And when it does, whatever God's plan is, what this is going to manifest to is God back in our schools, back to a time. It's going to be the greatest revival in history, bringing people back to Jesus. I mean, I firmly believe that. My confidence, optimism is at an all-time high. I mean, and I'm getting attacked. I'm getting attacked every day, you know, for obviously we must be over the target with they're attacking me for Dominion wanted to sue me. I said, come on, I want to be sued so we can get, maybe we can get the evidence out faster that way. But, you know, there's box stores that are dropping me and stuff, but it shows everybody in the country what they're going to do or what they had planned. And not just people on the right, people, Democrat friends that I had, they're going, wow, what just happened? What is going to happen? And everybody's living in fear, but we don't have to live in fear. We should only fear the Lord. And I am just so confident that this is all part of such a big picture that's going to reveal all the evil. This, we all knew we were in a spiritual warfare battle for how long now? I mean, it seems like it's been for, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years, but it's all come to a head here. You know, I just want to give confidence to people, no matter what happens tomorrow. And I don't know. I can't give you any insight. I met with the president. It was only a 5 or 6 minute meeting. And I didn't ask him, hey, what are you going to do? You know, what's going to happen? I didn't ask him any of that. There wasn't time. And do I have any things that I think are going to happen? No, I don't, because it seems like this has been taking so many different turns. Okay, but I just want you all to know, we do.
Okay, there's more of it there. In fact, we just put it in the chat. I want to show you one more segment if you can. Move ahead to Mike Adams at 5420. 5420, Mike Adams, a health ranger. Mike has it, so is Pastor Broden. 5420, Mike Adams. Very, very short, but some great wisdom here from Mike Adams. Go ahead and play that.
Before I pray.
Pastor Broden, wait a minute. I forgot all about Mike Adams is on. Mike Adams. And then we'll have you, Pastor. I apologize. My error.
Well, I certainly don't want to interrupt the pastor. I apologize.
Go ahead, Mike.
Okay. Well, again, I apologize for the interruption, Pastor. And thank you, Carla Dean, for inviting me on. Just a few thoughts to share with you here. Lynn Wood is absolutely correct when he says, trust God, trust Trump, and also trust in the United States military. They are not our enemy, even if they may be temporarily used as such by actual enemies of this republic. The military are not our enemy. They are on Trump's side and they're on America's side. We have to ask, why are there 65,000 troops now, according to an interview today from the person in charge of those troops, 65,000 troops in DC today? Why is there an air wing attached to it? And a Stryker armored vehicle wing and combat air patrol. And I think Mary Fanning has knowledge about some of the threats from China and possibly Iran, as Lynn Wood mentioned, that are being waged against this country right now. So let's pray for the safety of our soldiers and our nation. And there are two outcomes tomorrow. In one outcome, Joe Biden is sworn in, and he becomes the president for some period of time, at least until the fraud of the election is fully uncovered and proven in a court of law, which is still in process, according to Sidney Powell today. And that election can be undone when proof of foreign interference is proven in court. That proof has already been delivered by DNI John Ratcliffe, the Director of National Intelligence, to President Trump many days ago, and also to the State Department, Pompeo, and many others, including Chris Miller at the DOD. We had three key markers happen today. Gina Haspel at the CIA resigned. Michael Ellis, who previously worked as counsel for Devin Nunes in California, he was put in place as the head counsel of the NSA. We also had a declassification announced and confirmed today from the White House and the FBI. The D-class documents are going to start appearing in the early hours tomorrow morning. in an outcome that is pro-Trump and pro-America and pro-military, the theory is that these declassification documents will offer such compelling evidence of systematic fraud and criminality by the enemies of America involved in the Russiagate conspiracy and Operation Crossfire Hurricane, that this will compel the military to accept the transfer of power to temporary military authority, during which they may call new elections based on paper ballots and honest elections. And then the outcome of that election, which would no doubt be Trump as
okay,
the victor if it's an honest
stop
election.
Stop there. I don't want Mike Adams. It's in the chat. This is worth, the whole thing's worth watching. Pastor Stephen Broden, even at the end, I was going to show about, I want to move on. anybody want to come in? Anybody have anything you want to say? Because I want to make another point here. Craig, come on in, Craig.
Hey, hey, Coach. Could I encourage you to pull up, Got Questions and type in One Accord?
Got Questions. Got Questions, Spencer. Got Questions, got
Questions. What's it mean to have One Accord?
Type in One Accord. Search One Accord.
Spencer, and what is it? What does it mean to be one accord?
The concept.
I'll have you read it there, Coach. Just the first maybe three paragraphs.
The concept of being in one accord is expressed frequently in the Bible with 10 instances in the book of Acts. For example, all these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus and his brothers. To be in one accord communicates being in one heart and mind. More specifically, the words in the original language convey the inner unity, oneness of heart and mind, of a group of people engaged in a similar action. As such, the expression is sometimes rendered with one mind. That's Romans 15, verse 6. So that you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ with one mind and one voice. When a group of people acts singly minded, unanimous in harmony, in unity, and without dissent, they are operating in one accord. In the Bible, the phrase often occurs along with statements about the people, the place, or the activity in which the harmonious group is participating. Then it seems good to the apostles and the elders and the whole church to choose men from among them and send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. They sent Judas, called Barnabas, or Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men among the brothers with the following letter. The brothers, both the apostles and the elders, to the brothers who are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia, greetings. Since we have heard that some persons have gone out from among us and troubled you with words, unsettling your minds, going down a little bit, Spence. Although we have gave them no instructions, it has seemed good to us, beloved, having come to one accord to choose men and send them to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. One accord, your point, Craig.
I think God's, however he's going to work it, and there's still time on the clock, okay, he's trying to get the church into one accord. He's trying to bring us into unity. And how he's going to do that, we're just going to have to wait and see how that works out.
Okay, Greg, you're all over it, man. Listen, did you look at my notes?
Did I? No, I didn't. No, I didn't.
A house divided against itself, Bible says, cannot stand. Not will not. Cannot. A house divided against itself. Now, there's nothing wrong with a house divided. But there's nothing wrong with, like my wife and I are divided. I got a roof here. And I'm in the basement, my multi-million dollar studio. And Michelle's in my multi-million dollar kitchen. And we're divided by a floor. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. She can make breakfast and I can do the show. But it doesn't work if she's cutting holes in the ceiling and pouring acid down on me. And I got an acid gun and I'm shooting it back up. That's a house divided. It can't stand, see? It can't stand. A divided house can stand, but a house divided against itself cannot. You understand? You see the picture? And Christianity, American Christianity, is a house divided against itself. Can I show you some proof here? Okay, good. I'm going to show you some proof. First of all, Spencer, pull up for me the email that says religion facts. Religion facts. Pull that up, everyone. I'm going to show you something. See, Christians don't even agree You would think, I would think, that in this last election, the election of 2020, although, hear me, they won because of cheating. You would think, 99% of Christians would voted for Trump? Larry, would that, I know, Larry, not the satanic social clubs. I get it. But you would think that 90% of Christians would vote for, hey, 90%, 95% would vote for the same guy. Wouldn't you? Christians would, all the East, maybe we're wrong. Maybe it ought to be Biden. Are you getting it up there for me, Spencer? Okay, look at this. This is just a statistic I pulled down. I got a bunch of them for you. Make this a little bigger here. This is political science. Christians account for the majority of registered voters in the United States. 64% of all voters in America are Christians. Win! Ha! We win! But this figure is down from 79% in 2008. Look at that. Down 15 points since 2008, 12 years. The share of voters who identify as religiously unaffiliated has nearly doubled in that span. People aren't calling themselves Christians anymore. The share of white Christians in the electorate in particular has decreased in recent years. White evangelical Protestants account for 18% of registered voters today. White evangelicals, 18%. That's down from 21% just 2008. During the same period, the share of voters who are white non-evangelical Protestants fell from 19% to 30%. We're losing the ground! While the share of white Catholics fell from 17% to 12%. Around 8 in 10 Republican voters, 79%, were Christians. Hey, folks, where are the other 20%? Compared with about half, 52% of Democratic voters are Christians. What? Yeah. 52% of Christians are voting for Democrats. I know, Larry, they're not Christians. I get it. In turn, Democrat voters are much more likely than GOP voters to identify as religiously unaffiliated. Now, I got another shocking one. You ready? I don't want to offend anybody, but I'm a truth teller here. Something seriously wrong with the Catholic Church. Something seriously wrong with the Catholic Church. 59% of Catholics voted for Joe Biden. 59% of Catholics, who I assume are Christians, I assume they are, voted for Joe Biden. The pro-life Christian Catholic Church with a pro-life Pope who's part of their life vitae, they're all about life. 60% of them aren't voting for life. 60% of Catholics. Can I tell you why? I'm not beating on the Catholics. I'm just telling you the truth. Catholics don't read the Bible. They don't follow the Bible. The father, when he does his homily, he doesn't preach the Bible. They don't preach the Bible. I'm sorry, Catholics. I'm sorry. How else can you explain 59% of them vote for a communist? How can you? They support homosexuality. What's going on? Okay, so hang on. Say, Coach, what are you saying? I'm saying we're losing because we're a house divided, which was exactly the point Craig was making. We're divided against ourselves. Oh, I got some more statistics. I can throw statistics at you all day long to show you what's going on politically and how we're voting and why we're voting. And I'm going to tell you something, friends. Christians are not voting Christianity. They're voting pocketbook issues. They're voting homosexual issues. They're voting all of these different issues. And why are they voting these different issues? Can I tell you why? Then I'll let some of you come in here. I'll tell you why. Because the pastors won't deal with politics. See, the pastors won't teach people. See here, it says that a man and a woman, do you see this? Okay, now if you're voting for a party that is against this, you're in sin. You can't vote for a party that wants to legalize gay marriage, okay? That's a sin. You see this right here, killing babies? You see where it says here, thou shalt not kill? You see that little babies are created in the image of God? You see that right here in the scripture? Okay, if you're voting for somebody that's for that, you're in sin. See, the pastors are just preaching. They're not preaching the law and the word of God and telling people that if you're voting, your vote is a sacred vote. And if you're voting against Jesus, you better check your heart. You are in serious rebellion against God. Well, tell us that.
Amen.
They They're not telling us that, see? And so therefore, they say, well, don't bring politics into the church. And so they're, hey, Steve, you go into your daggone church and 30% of the people are voting for baby killers. And we can't figure out why. Well, you're not allowed to talk about that from the pulpit. It just brings division. We're a house divided against ourselves. Come on in, John Diamond, then Larry. Good, John.
Hey, Coach, couple comments on what you said there. The Catholics, you know, aren't voting the right way because most of them aren't born again. You know, I was raised Catholic. You were raised Catholic. It wasn't until we were born again that our kind of political alliances started to change. And then it also said that the thing that you read about religion, it said the 20% that, you know, we've lost in like 10 years, those are people like you and me and probably most of your voters because it just said they're unaffiliated. That they know the church is broken. People are just leaving the churches in droves. And that's why these platforms, the stuff that you're doing, the stuff that I'm getting ready to start is so important because I believe the church is going to take a whole different meaning. It's actually going to be the ecclesia because the churches in America, Christ came the first time. Everything in Judaism was broke, culturally, spiritually, politically, everything was broke. I mean, it's going to happen the same as it is today. Everything in this country is broke because of the religious leaders.
My buddy John Barnett says, there's going to be a rude awakening before a great awakening, right? Maybe people aren't uncomfortable enough. Maybe not. And we will never, ever move the ball forward. But listen to me. If we don't, every one of us, fight for all we are worth to have at the base of our government, Christianity again. Enough of the diversity, enough of the tolerance, enough of the humanism, enough of all that other stuff, but let's put Christ, let's legalize Jesus again. And until Christians fight to legalize Jesus, do we think the atheists and the humanists are going to bring Christian values? Do we think they're going to respect the Bible and the God of the Bible and the Ten Commandments? And we elect them to office and vote for God haters and then wonder why we're losing our liberties. It's unbelievable. Come on in, Larry.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, somebody talked about unity. Maybe unity is going to happen. Well, I agree to that because Jesus prayed for unity, and God is surely going to answer Jesus's prayer. But and when we look at the historical record, how God brings unity into a nation and into His people, it's through hardship. The time in the wilderness, the time when they've been taken away to other countries, the time when other countries took over their countries and made them slaves in their own country. God brings unity about through hardship on His people.
I'm going to tell you something, folks. The greatest strength of our football teams when I was a coach and the greatest strength of any good football team is not diversity. What a life in the pit of hell. Then what a lie. The greatest strength is taking diversity and bringing it into unity. It's exactly the opposite of what's going on now. That's the exact opposite, right? And if a guy on our football team was not unified, if he had a different version of how the game was going to be played, or if he had a different version of what play he wanted to run, or if he had an attitude that didn't blend with the rest of us, we didn't tolerate him. We put him on the bench and then out the door. Right? So what fellowship have darkness and light? We have to start taking these clear biblical principles and applying them. Time out a minute. Why are you buying? I feel so much like cussing. You don't even know that old man in me wants to write. I want to say the S word and I want to say all kinds of things. Can somebody tell me? I'm talking to me now. What am I doing on Facebook? What am I doing buying from Amazon? What am I doing buying from Kohl's and Bath and Body Works? Who, by the way, they won't sell Michael and Dell's stuff anymore. Kohl's, Bed and Bath and Beyond. They quit selling it. Why do I patronize them?
I think we need to order some new pillows.
Roger. I think we need to order some new pillows, right? Why do we continue to fund those who are hell-bent on destroying us? Why do we do that?
Exactly. And,
how about if that message came from the pulpits, huh? Oh, no, 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 no. Paul was talking about, no, 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 no. We're not going to hear that. I'm all over the place this morning. I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore.
Dave, I would add to Larry's word of hard times, I would add the word persecution.
Yes, persecution. Ah, persecution.
Bingo.
Coach, Andrew Torba put out a gab about that exactly. You should find out.
Oh, so you gotta gab it for me. Hey, how about Bobby Lee? Bobby Lee got banned from YouTube. Ooh. Right? Out of way to go, Bobby. Get them. You know what I want to say? Boy, I got cussing right on the tip of my tongue today, but Holy Spirit's controlling it. See, that's how you can do it. That carnal man, boy, he wants to come out. That old fighter in me, oh, he wants to come out today. He does. Yeah, Bobby Lee, his videos. Hey, folks, they're gone. His videos are just gone. All those videos he made, gone. Are you in here, Bobby? I don't know if you're in here or not. Bobby Lee. Huh?
Yes, I'm here.
Is that what they did, Bobby? They just stripped them all?
They did. They're all gone. And but the good thing is most of them are over on the channel on your platform. I got a channel over. So they're captured.
Good. We got. But Bobby, that's twice, man. You're doing something. You were on that hit list the other day. And now they're banning you, man. Oh man, way to go, Bobby.
I can't post anything on Facebook as well.
Why would you want to? I almost swore. I almost did. I gotta be careful. That carnal man, he's trying to get out of me today. Hey, listen, the carnal man never dies. He never dies. You gotta be always ready to fight that guy. I'm telling you something. That guy is always trying to poke his head back up. Boy, he's after me today. Come on in, Roger. Did you want to say something or you just didn't put your hand down? I guess he didn't want to say. Anybody, Silver?
No, thank you, Dave. I said what I wanted. And
you're in, Silver. Go, Silver.
Thank you, sir. Just sometimes the carnal man is the only language the carnal man understands.
Amen, brother. Amen. I'm speaking their language now, baby. I'm thinking it anyway, Joe. I'm not saying it, but I got to tell you something. It's right here on the tip of my tongue. I remember all those words. Oh, I remember every one of them. I used to use them all. I used to make up cuss words. Oh, anybody say amen? I used to make them up, boy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. John Diamond, did you want to say something? You guys got your hands up. I don't know if you just didn't take it down or not. Ohio Brett, you want to say something? You look like you do.
Yes, I do. Just my spirit today, Coach, from the Marines earlier to God giving us the beautiful day that we all have. The clock doesn't end if evil is inaugurated today. This is what's glorious. The clock doesn't end.
No, baby. It's just a change of quarters, right?
Amen.
We switch ends. We're just going into the wind now. That's all. The wind was at our back. Now we're going into the wind. Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. So, oh man. Let's see. Randy, come on in, Randy. Rescue me here. 6 minutes left. Oh, I got so much I didn't even get to show you yet. Go ahead.
The beginning, Coach. This is the new beginning.
It is, man. It is. And listen,
Coach, I apologize. It's revival. That's the word. Revival in what? Not in anti-gay. It's pro-Bible. Pro-Bible.
Amen. Amen. Pro-Bible. Pro-truth, right? Pro-truth. Pro-truth. As we move forward here. So listen, this is ultimately not about rescuing America, although we all want to rescue America. This is about the advancement of the kingdom of God, boys and girls. That's what this whole thing's about. Let's not lose sight of what's going on. Come on, Clay.
Yeah, Coach. I was just going to say, I mean, I've still got hope that Trump's going to step aside today, let the military tribunals handle this. But that might not be the case. And if they put Biden in there, I'm just telling you, there's a lot of people that's riding the fence right now, and that's going to be the straw that broke the camel's back. And there's going to be so many people ticked off in this country. You're going to see a revival because of that right there.
Okay, good. So we have to direct that energy in a righteous way, man. We can win. We can win. We can win. Myra, come on in.
agree with Craig. It's about the advancement of Jesus Christ. I'm hoping it's Trump, but it's in God's hands, and whomever is there, we'll have to unite. Hey, absolutely. Thank you.
We got to come up with a game plan. 118 of us in here today. These are the days of Elijah, folks. This is, man, oh man.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
You know, Brett mentioned revival, and I think he's absolutely right, but we have to remember the word revival means again, the life is quickened. See, most people think revival is go out and find those dead people and bring them into life. No. Revival is those who are in the life getting re-energized, revival.
Renew, Larry.
It's time to get the saved united.
Amen, Larry. I didn't even get to all the statistics. I didn't even get to them. See, we've lost this confusion in the camp, folks. Confusion in our camp. That's what we're dealing with. But it's okay. The game isn't over. Hey, Trump may lock them all down today. If he doesn't, maybe they get locked down 2 weeks from now. I don't know. Let's pray. God wants justice. He wants equal justice. This is what we've been about here forever and ever and ever at this 5 years on Monday. 5 years on Monday. Every month. I've wakened up almost every day for 5 years looking at Larry Richardson. I never even knew him. And now every morning I talk to Larry. Unbelievable, isn't it? RJ, come on in, then Kimberly. Go ahead, RJ.
Yeah, just real quick, two things. Just a testimony for the show. There's a new lady I saw in here earlier, Margie Alfonso. I don't know if she's still there. She's 80 years old. She ran for office here in Tulsa. The show is growing. I don't know how she heard about it. Didn't hear about it from me, but the show is growing. The other thing is that we don't, you know, whenever Lazarus was in the grave, that's when Jesus shows up. Yeah, we want it to be in our time. Right. Same thing with Christ. He's in the grave. The devil thinks he's won. Guess what? He's risen. We're risen Sunday's with
coming.
Him.
Sunday's coming, RJ. Sunday's coming.
That's right. That's right.
Bless you, brother. Kimberly, get in there. Didn't mean to cut you off, RJ. Kimberly, come on in.
I don't think that we should have – we already know that the gates of hell shall not prevail. So if we stand on that, and everybody has already prophesied that it's going to be Trump, and we already know that God doesn't stand for anything that Biden does, so we just can't waver in our faith. We can't be double-minded.
Yeah, we don't know how he's going to – we know what he's going to do, but we don't know how he's going to do it, Kimberly.
Yeah, and that's the same thing with God, so we just got to let God work the details out and just stand in faith. I mean, I've had so many people waver, well, I guess we're just going to have to deal with Biden. I'm like, no, we're not.
I'm going to keep fighting.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, we got hammered today, so I got to deal with a snowstorm getting out of here.
Be safe.
I am.
Denny Bryan, come on in real quick, Denny. You're up early.
Real quick on your unity. If you look up the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verses 20 and 21, that is the Lord praying to the Father, and he says, Father, make them one with each other as I am one with you. This is all through memorization. And he says, not only them, but also those who come to us through them. That includes you and me, first as disciples. But he says, make us one. You and me, Coach, are to be one mind.
Amen.
As Jesus, one mind with Jehovah. And then he didn't stop there. And he says, now make them one with us. We're to be one with God as Amen. Jesus is one with God. Right there, chapter 20 and 21, Gospel of John. It is the most encouraging, powerful thing in the world. It's the two scriptures I stand on that keeps me going.
God bless you, Denny. I'll be up there in Iowa here in about 14, 15, 16 days. Looking forward to it. Get all that snow out of there. These are the days of Elijah, righteousness being restored. Folks, the Bible says, look not at things that you can see. Because the things you can see are temporary, subject to change. But look at things that cannot be seen, because the things that cannot be seen are eternal. And do you believe that you and I get to get on this bandwagon and fight for such a time as this? Unbelievable. Tyrell Welch just asked, where in Iowa? When is that, Denny? Where are we going to be? Tyrell, you email me. I'll tell
you. You're
going
to be at the Iowa Huddle in New Sharon, Iowa at 2 o'clock February 7th.
Looking forward to it. Got to run. God's on the throne. We win now. Stand back. Stand by. Stand, what's it say? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. We're going over, not under. See you tomorrow.
Amen. Amen.
Hey, Denny.